If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that'll get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson, pow, pow, pow.
I am Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along, it's another Life Logistics, because we put out a shout-out a few weeks ago for our IFS members to give us things they wanted sorting out. Mm. And the response was overwhelming. And we're still working on a few of them. There's still a few left that we can try and get through, which we'll do this week. And then next week, I think we'll maybe do a tune machine, Sam. Do you think?
Yeah, we haven't done one in ages. I miss it. I love that, yeah.
Starting to miss doing that, so we'll do one of them next time. Mm. Once we've got these sorted out. I'm trying to figure out where the last one was. There's a one from Jim Wilkinson. What's a good office chair? That's a very vague kind of question, isn't it?
I think it's quite a good question. I've got some things to say about this.
Oh, that's good to know.
Well, over the years, especially since we've been doing this pod, my pod rig has changed lots of times and is almost always evolving. And for a long time, when we started doing these every day in lockdown, back then I had a very small desk in my bedroom with just one of the...
You were sitting on an upturned bucket like Bielsa.
Yeah,
do you remember?
It was uncomfortable. I got a lot of back pain and I didn't look forward to podding because I was very often in like intense discomfort whilst podding. And then I got the Vita Modular and I got this chair that I'm sitting on now. And I can't remember actually where it's from. I found it online, but it's not like one of these high-end Eames chairs that costs like... But it's like a rip-off of a high-end. Do you know what I mean?
I can see that you're sitting sort of laid back with your hands behind your head.
Very laid back. I'm sitting in the American style. This is American style sitting, yeah.
Slightly away from the microphone in the manner that I've asked you not to sit in.
The only way I could stick to this rule that you've set me is if I locked the back of the chair... So it doesn't recline. Because as long as it can recline, as long as I can recline,
I will
recline. Because, Andy, reclining is brilliant. It's one of the best things you can do in life, reclining.
It's what separates us from the animals. I can't think of any animal that's got the ability to recline.
They wouldn't fucking know where to start, the silly cunts. No wonder they're knackered all the time, right? Imagine the back pain that the average pig or zebra has because it's never fucking worked out how to recline. Not like me, mate. Oh, and you know, like when you're in the cinema or when you're in an aeroplane and you have reclining capabilities, because a lot of cinema seats have that now. But there's always a bit of politics about reclining, isn't there? Like, is it a bit out of order on the person?
Especially in the aeroplane,
And so you kind of want to recline, but you can't. And you think, how long can I last out without reclining? So reclining's a real luxury. So when I'm at home and I've got a chair that has any recline capability, I'm using it to the max, mate. I'm using it to the max.
I know.
Now, this isn't an office chair, so apologies to whoever wrote this question in.
Bang me leg on the desk.
I've been meaning to ask you. You did get a comfort leisure recliner from IKEA a couple of years ago.
I did.
But I didn't hear much of it since then. Was it a failure?
Oh, it, No, no, it's still there. I was talking about it with my son just yesterday because I was sitting in it. We were watching the darts and I said, do you remember when it was that I got this chair, son?
Mm.
He said, no. I said, it was 2 days before the second lockdown.
Yeah, perfect timing.
Exactly. Visionary.
Yeah. Well, you had an instinct. You could smell something was coming and you knew while the other silly cunts were going out to stockpile toilet roll and baked beans, you knew where to really focus your attention and resources. Comfort.
On comfort.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course, we were all about the comfort market back then, weren't we?
Yeah, well, we still are. We don't like to go on and on about it, but, you know, the subtext of everything is invest in the comfort market. And I actually got another chair. I bought a new desk because the other one, it was too wobbly and the microphone was wobbling and I could never, and it wasn't high enough, so I couldn't get my legs underneath. Oh, it was a nightmare.
Ugh.
It was a bit of a makeshift desk that I'd got off
a mate who didn't.
It wasn't even a desk. My mate had a bit of wood and he's a handyman. And he bolted four legs to the bottom of it. And because I said, I need a desk. And I said to him, because he makes shit, I said, make us a desk. And he went, I haven't got time to make you a proper one, but I'll bolt some legs onto a bit of wood I've got if you want. This is when I first got the Vita Modular. And I said, all right, fine. You know, saves me buying one. But it was never quite right. So not so long ago, I got a nice big desk from IKEA and a new chair. But the chair's already gone to... My son's already had that off of me. So I'm back in this big black chair, which I like. It's got armrests and it feels a little bit like a Ronnie Corbett vibe. You can't see this, but, you know, like, it's got some nice soft armrests. But I... You know what I'm like? I'm a fiddler. As you know only too well. You've been the victim of my fiddling more than most, right?
Many, many times.
Yeah.
But you're not ashamed of it, are you? You're an unashamed fiddler.
I can't help myself. And in fact, for someone who doesn't smoke, well, didn't smoke until last year when I started smoking.
Somebody who only smokes on the continent.
No, actually, that's not true. You know, this weekend I've been on a hiking weekend with my cousin that I do from time to time. Well, we did it and we stayed in a shepherd's hut. It was brilliant, actually. Tiny shepherd's hut. Quite cheap, very comfortable, built by hand by Mark, the guy who sort of owned the land that it was on, right?
All right.
He had his own woodshed with a wood cutter, like one of those revolving blades, right? And got and picked up like logs and bits of like driftwood, whatever he could get his hands on. And slowly but surely over the years built this shepherd's hut and it was fucking great.
Did you get to see or try the log cutter?
No. Neither. He told me he had one, which me and my cousin took as a sort of a low-key threat.
A veiled threat, yeah. Obviously.
He was like, yeah, I've got a woodcutter up there in a woodshed. And we were like, oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I see where you're going with this. Is this like, you know, in Fargo where they feed... He's trying to make me... That if I get any trouble from you two cunts, you're getting fed into my wood chipper.
Yeah.
Right? Or the revolving blade bollocks first. So, anyway, luckily that didn't happen. But it was a great, great place. And I was buzzing to be there. And because it was in the wilderness, it was very, all you could hear it was birdsong outside. And all you could see was hills for miles around.
Brilliant.
And there was a little toilet and shower unit, like a few yards across the little field we were
in. The hood. Did it have the internet?
It didn't have the internet, which I appreciated. I could get 4G there.
That's all right. So, that's internet.
Yeah, I mean, me and my cousin's a big gooner, and so it was quite strange that we were together when the news broke that the Rice transfer had been confirmed.
Whoa.
And we were both in the middle of nowhere locked in a shepherd's hut together, and we both got a ping on our phone at the same time.
Did you shake hands about it?
No, we fought. I immediately sort of made a screeching noise like a wild
cat. Right into the ground.
And I leapt off of my... I was on my bed and he was on his bed, but my bed was on a higher level. So I leapt. Yeah. And I just... Yeah. And then
like
we,
a
yeah,
raptor.
Yeah, we just rolled around for a long time fighting. And in the end, it got it out of our system.
Probably for the best.
Yeah. No, but so it was good. But I got carried away because it's exciting. When you go away to reset your demons for the weekend, it's great. It's not just the walking and being in nature. It is the life-changing magic of talking complete fucking shit. And I know that's what we do every day on this podcast, but I mean...
I was going to say, like, that can't be new to you.
But what I mean is you're away from everything. Like, I do it here, and we finish recording the podcast. I'm straight into, like, the main part of the house, and the kids are moaning about something, or the dog's barking, or there's a bill to pay, or... you know, shit, life. Life, Andy. Do you know what I mean? Life. Life's always there, isn't it? Hanging about like a vulture on your shoulder.
Like a raptor.
Yeah. Life. Life is a raptor. I'll write that down as a title for a song on my new record. Right? I'm living the raptor life.
Raptor lifestyle.
It's always there. But when you get out for a weekend and you're just in the middle of fucking nowhere walking along in some hills or on a coastal path and talking nothing but shit, it's really good because it releases all the demons for 48 hours. And as what I'm building up to is as a result of that, on the Friday night, we drove into, Hastings, which as a local resident once described it to me, Hastings is a small drug town with a fishing problem. Right. Thought that was quite funny. A jazz singer I know from Hastings described it as that to me.
That's actual wit.
Yeah. And we went into Hastings and we got a curry. Lovely local curry house in Hastings. Can't remember its name, but we had a wonderful curry. I had the vegetarian Tali and a 0% Cobra beer. And I was buzzing. I was happy to be away. I was in a euphoric mood. When we drove back down all the country lanes to our shepherd's hut, which was out about 20 minutes outside, I said, I need to stop for petrol. So I found a petrol station, which I was also buzzing about because the car started going, "You will run out of petrol any second, for fuck's sake.
I am dying."
Yeah,
it was. I am dying.
Exactly. Shut down all systems. And I was like, it was giving me all this shit. While I was driving, it was like 11 o'clock at night and we were in really dark country lanes and I was thinking, fuck, if this car stops now, I'm fucked, right? And so I was getting quite stressed and it was one of those ones where I turned a corner and you just see an SO sign, like in an advert, shimmering on the distance. So then you get that real, like, buzz, do you know what I mean? Because you can't believe you're so happy because moments earlier you thought you were in a crisis. So I pull up in this petrol station. I'm so excited that I go to pay for the petrol. I go to my cousin, "Do you want anything?" He goes, "Yeah, get me a Mars Bar Duo." Right.
Hey!
I liked his style because he just said it casually as if it was the most normal thing to say in the world. I don't think he even looked up. Yeah.
As a Mars Bar aficionado, he's absolutely right. There is no point buying a single Mars Bar anymore. They are just too small.
Yeah.
They're just above fun size now.
He just
goes, regular ones.
Without even looking up. He was looking at his phone, I don't know, looking at his emails or Twitter or something. He goes, "Do you want anything, mate?" "Yeah, get us a Mars Bar Duo." I thought to myself, what a man. That's just, he said that as if it was the most normal thing in the world. So I went in and I was so buzzing with euphoria that I bought two Mars Bar Duos and I went, "Mate, you got any Hamlet cigars?" Because I know my cousin likes a cigar, but he likes like a proper big fat cigar, right? And I thought, I can't get back into this fags business. Everyone knows I had 8 cigarettes in Prague, but we had just won the Europa Conference League, in my defence. But I thought 8 was enough. I got severe heartburn when I got back and had to drink a whole bottle of fucking Gaviscon and take to my bed. Right.
Yeah, you wanted to cancel a podcast recording,
didn't you? I thought, I can't go back down this road. I've got to knock this smoking business on the head. But in the end, I was like, no, I've got to have a Hamlet. So they opened the cupboard and they had a whole host of different Hamlets. So I didn't know which ones to get. I just said, I have those ones. And we went back to the shepherd's hut and both smoked a Hamlet whilst looking at the starry sky late at night on the little deck that was attached to the hut. And I can honestly say, it was absolutely vile. I felt sick to my stomach. And I gave the box to my cousin. I said, "Yeah, you can have those. I found that a disgusting experience.
You
thanks all
weirdo.
The same." Yeah. Well, I was the weirdo for buying them. I don't know what possessed me. I just suddenly found myself saying, "Got any Hamlets, mate?"
It's a man thing that we do sometimes in certain situations. Like if you're at a wedding or something, you'll buy a cigar from behind the bar.
That's true. I did used to do that when I was younger. And it was one of those things that you did because you think, it's a bit fucking GQ wanker, basically, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Men smoke cigars when they are celebrating, right? And it's a little bit Tory. But anyway, I stopped doing it.
Not the cigars that you always have.
The fat
ones.
Think
you feel like you're having a big fat one, don't you?
Yeah.
An individual one, but you're not. All you're getting is a box of six Hamlet Panatellas.
Well, usually I have smoked in the past big fat ones, right?
Oh, have
but
you?
I haven't had a Hamlet before, and I just said, sell us a box of Hamlets. And they were more or less cigarette size, to be honest. Slightly bigger than a fag. And
quite a fancy one, though.
No, it was really, I found it really horrible. That said, the following night, we went out for dinner, and when we got back, despite the fact that I'd felt physically sick the first night, I went, shall we have another Hamlet? And I smoked another one, and I found it just as abhorrent as I had done the first time. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm 48 years old.
You're also sober as well,
yeah.
Which means there's no excuse.
I know, so weird. But anyway, I am a fiddler, and I've picked away at this foamy armrest here and vandalised my own chair a little bit. But other than that, it's served me well over the sort of 3 years I've had it. I can't really help you in telling you where it's from, but it's got, I mean, you can see it, and it's got a lovely headdress. It's very comfortable.
It has, I like it.
I'm very, very comfortable in it.
From this angle, it looks like the kind of thing that, let's say, a paraplegic. Is that the right word?
Yeah. It's
would scoot around in.
It's very like that.
I think it's
Stephen
Hawking kind of quality.
And
to
actually, the way I'm sitting in it is a bit like I'm like
the angle that you're at is
The angle I'm sitting at would not be endorsed by an osteopath such as Rod McDonald, would it?
Rod McDonald.
He would.
No.
Rob McDonald does not endorse this sitting position.
So I think that's all we can say to Jim Wilkinson. He says, what's a good office chair? This one I've got, I think, is IKEA, and I think it was about 100 quid.
Mm.
Because I knew I'd be using it a lot, and I reckon it's just that thing, if you get what you pay for, isn't it? If you're going to spend 25 quid on a chair,
it's going to be shit. But there are very expensive chairs out there. Most of the best ones in the world are Danish. The Danes are, amongst being the best in the world at various things, one of the things is designing chairs. Yeah. So you can get a Danish design chair. It can be anything up to like a grand or more. And supposedly, you know, it's the best fucking thing for your back and your posture, and it's comfortable and medically sound. But, or you can get a fucking cheap one that's 25 quid from Argos, and that's just going to give you fucking backache. So
yeah.
I think IKEA is the way to go. The chair that I recently bought from IKEA that my son's got, they're just the right price point. 100 quid from IKEA is going to be comfortable. It's not going to be the best chair in the world, but it will be comfortable and it will last. So go for IKEA.
That's what I've got. That's what I've got. And I've had it for like 18 months and it's working beautifully.
And they're all rip-offs of the Danish designs anyway. That's the thing. They look at those classic chairs and they just make one, but with slightly cheaper materials. So it's fine.
Buy cheap, buy twice. That's what I always say.
Quite right.
So, you know, outlier, 100 quid-ish, IKEA. There we go, Jim Wilkinson. Hope that's all right. We dealt with the one about head shaving last week. It is a good one from Jonathan Fawn, F-O-N-E, as opposed to P-H.
Good name, mate. Very good.
He says, I am looking for advice on mowing my neighbour's lawn. I share a lawn with my neighbour, but unfortunately, my neighbour is a cunt.
No.
They're loud, scruffy, deliberately scare our cats if they go out into their garden, and constantly smoke, which stinks our house out when we try to open the window. When we moved in a year ago, the entire lawn was an absolute shit tip. I have been mowing both my side and their side of the lawn for the last year, as to not appear petty, but without any thanks. If I didn't do it, they would let it turn into a shit tip again. What do I do? Tell me it.
Mm.
Now, I think this depends on the size of the lawn. And I'm guessing it's a lawn out at the front of the house, you would think, wouldn't you? Because
yeah.
If it was out the back, there'd be a fence, I guess. This feels like it's one of those small front lawns. So it suggests it's not that big. If Jonathan's been doing it already for a year or so, possibly isn't too much of a hardship. I would carry on doing it, Jonathan, and it would be my brand of killing them with kindness.
Yeah.
You're not getting any kind of thanks for it, but maybe you'll chip away at their levels of guilt if you keep doing it. And also it'll make the lawn look nice. yeah. for passers-by.
Yeah.
Just keep doing it, mate.
Keep doing it. What are they going to do? They can't take legal action.
No, just keep doing it.
Jalapeño.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Jalapeño.
Last year, I painted the front fence and gate last summer, about this time last year, and I was expecting blowback from our friend Raggedy Ann, because the fence along the front of my garden is entirely mine, but the gate and the front path is shared with her. But for them to match, I had to paint it. And I thought, if I ask, she'll find a reason to say no, because whenever I've asked, there's always such, she'll go away, she'll say, let me think about it. And what she means is, I'm going to think about a legitimate objection. So I thought, fuck it, I'll do it. And I'll just, you know, face the consequences. And I was surprised that she was very happy about it. She really she threw me completely. She didn't tell me personally, but she told my wife. Raggedy Ann's actually really softened up over the last 6 months. Talks to us.
Well, you think it's because of the
It's the dog. It's mainly the dog.
It's the dog.
Yeah. First of all, she was very sympathetic because she loved Nelson. Nelson used to visit her. The fucking the traitorous cunt. No, I can't speak ill of Nelson. But, you know, Nelson's just like, used to go over and go, oi, oi, what's going on here? Got any treats for a neighbour's cat? You know, all cats do that, don't they? And I heard her a few times being really nice to Nelson. And so when he died, she was quite upset about that. And it meant she softened her stance towards us. And then when we went and got a kitten and a puppy, particularly the puppy, she was like, she melted. And suddenly it's like she regarded us as nicer people for owning a dog. Because I think that she just thought we were terrible people. Not sure why. But she seemed...
I'm not saying anything. I can't think of any reason why.
She seemed to treat us as if we were bad people, including the kids. And now we've got a dog, and it's like she's turned around and thought, oh, maybe they can't be all bad if they own a dog. Strange.
Yeah. Yeah, well, maybe that's another part of the solution. Get a dog as well, Jonathan.
Yeah, get a dog. And whatever you do, don't let that dog start shitting on the front lawn.
No, but just keep it on a lead. Mm. Maybe tied to the fence or the gate while you're doing the lawn, and they'll look out and see the dog and you and just melt. Or maybe they won't. Maybe they are, as you've described them, as cunts.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, another one here from... There's two work-related ones. We'll try and do them separately. They might kind of overlap a little bit. Peter Brennan. I've started a new job. Wanted to take a break from the mad rat race and crazy hours, mostly from my nut and health. So I took a job that would facilitate more shirking, less working. Can you advise some good in-work shirking technique or activities? Cheers, lads. Tricky.
Go to the toilet loads. That's what I used to do in jobs.
We're men who have been freelance for so long that we've got shirking down to a fine art.
When I think of any office that I've ever worked in the past, I could describe the toilet situation in all of them to you really well from memory, better than I could any other part of the job, because I was just always I'd sort of just think, right, it's after lunch, I think I'll go and sit on the toilet for like 45 minutes, And no one ever really said, where have you been? I mean, the only time I was in a situation where they checked that shit was when I worked in a call centre when I was like 19. That was like, they policed fucking everything. That really felt like an affront to my human rights. They would really police the number of toilet breaks you could have and how long. And I actually think in a lot of jobs that's commonplace. Do you remember that scandal, worth deep diving possibly, the Sports Direct scandal from a few years ago with what's his name, former Newcastle owner?
Mike Ashley,
yeah. And they had the scandal about their warehouse and how strictly they policed things like toilet breaks. And,
that's right,
and they checked you. They did full search on the way in and the way out. They policed your toilet breaks. They timed it. And there were stories about how, like, one woman ended up giving birth in the toilet at Sports Direct because they hadn't let her time off to have a baby or something. There was a lot of bad stuff. And I think that does happen in a lot of workplaces. So what they've done is they've tried to clamp down on time wasting, which is a real shame. Because if you can't time waste in a job, then where's the incentive to get a job? I think.
I remember when some Newcastle fans did a protest out and boycotted and picketed some Sports Direct shops.
Yeah.
Back when they were really angry about Mike Ashley's ownership of the club because he wasn't, you know, funding it properly. They thought he wasn't putting in money for player transfers and that, and, you know, a fairly legitimate protest, I would say. Don't seem to be quite so keen now that they're owned by a barbaric, misogynist, homophobic, murderous death cult.
Because they're getting money for the players.
It's pretty harder to protest against that kind of thing because there's not a focal point, is there? You can't exactly jump on a plane to Riyadh and like, turn up with some stonings or executions and protest. Guys,
stop this! Stop it! Yeah. We do not endorse this, but please do. But please do up your bid for Barnes, the Leicester winger. If you could just like find an extra 10 million, then we can secure him, and then we'll be perfectly happy. But we would ask you to tone down the stonings.
Yeah, I was just looking at the story. It was 2015. There was 12 Sports Direct stores within 20 miles of St James's Park, plus the flagship Oxford Street store. It's nuanced, isn't it, really? I think, as to what you can do and all the circumstances and everything. I used to work in a call centre of Lloyd's TSB, and I remember there was a similar thing going on with the toilet breaks, and it was policed and you were monitored. And I worked with a young man who he's now a podcaster as well, part-time. I'm not going to name him, but he's a Sunderland football podcaster. I believe he's a listener to this podcast as well.
Hello to him.
And he was spectacular in his use of flagrant toilet breaks. And they called him up on it more than once, and they were timing him in the end. And it was great to see. He really stuck it to them. But yeah, toilets is a good thing to do.
Yeah, toilets great.
Don't know. Tricky.
I had a job once that was like an errand boy on a set. Like when I was like a student, I got a couple of days work as a sort of an errand boy on the set, and they were making a short film. And I didn't really know what to do. I didn't really like the atmosphere, and I was just a know nothing, lazy student. And I, you know, unless someone was giving me very specific instructions, I didn't know how to look busy. And a guy came over to me and he said, "Listen, few people have come over." He was like my direct sort of governor, but he was
line manager
sort of thing. He was one position above me, so he was like senior errand boy, right? And he went, "Listen, mate, a few people have made comments that you look like you're just sitting around doing fuck all." And I'm thinking, and I go, "Yeah, that's because that's what I am doing. Don't bother me. It's your fucking money, right? Give me something to do and I'll do it." And he said, "It is tricky if there's not something for you to do at all time that you've been instructed to do. But the trick in this job is to look as if you're doing something anyway." And I said, "Okay, like what?" And he went, "Well, a really good one," he goes, "is look up at the ceiling," right? We're in this big studio. He goes, "Look up at the ceiling and pretend that with your hands on your hips and pretend that you can see something coming down from the seat like a drip. And then look at the floor, look down at the floor and then look up at the ceiling. and then scratch your head a bit and look down. And he goes, just stand there. If you're standing still, pretend that you're investigating a potential leak. And no one will question it. No, people are busy and they walk past you and they don't look up to see if there really is a leak. But they think, what's he doing? Oh, he's investigating a leak. Good. That's good. Good work. Keep it up.
Yeah.
So that's not a bad one. I don't know if that's time wasting, but it's certainly a good way to disguise the fact that you're doing fuck all.
No, that is good. And I mean, also you can like examine it from different angles as well.
Yeah, you can get down on the floor and start looking across the surface of the floor and stuff like that. No one's going to question that. They're going to think, look at him going above and beyond.
There was a second one from Charlie Doran. My boss is a busy cunt who doesn't embrace the just rest attitude to life. Mm. He took me on, taught me everything I know, pays me decent money, but I'm fed up running around like a cunt. Should I fuck it off, or do I owe him a bit of gratitude?
Hmm.
You do owe him some kind of gratitude, I guess, Charlie, but at the same time, he's taking the piss out of you, and he's taught you everything you know, suggests that you know quite a bit now.
Hmm.
Deploy those skills somewhere else.
To destroy him? Oh, no.
Yeah, if you have to.
So what, he taught him loads, but now he's just being a pain in the arse.
He's good.
And he won't let him, like chill out ever. But the money's good. Yeah, I'd quit.
What, with another job in mind or in hand, or just
quit?
Well,
it depends what your situation is. If you've got any money in the bank, if you've got financial backup, then you can just quit. If you don't, go and line up
something. Who the fuck's got a financial backup these days?
He might have a rich missus. He might do. He might have a missus who's earning more than him, and he can go, listen.
Yeah.
I'm not loving this job, to be honest. And she's like, why not? And he goes, well, you know my boss? She goes, yeah, good guy, taught you everything you know. Yeah. Pays you well too, what's the problem? Yeah, he's just like, he always wants me to be working all the time. He goes, yeah, well, it's a job. Yeah, I know, but I kind of want to like chill out a bit more, so I'm going to quit the job. Anyway, so my wages won't be coming in anymore. So I don't know if you can get a pay rise or just start, you know,
work more.
Yeah, just work,
job,
get more shifts, something like that. You're going to have to do something.
Do some bar work.
You're going to have to do something because I'm quitting to spend some more time just relaxing around the house. He might be in a situation where he can say that. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, he might be. It feels unlikely in this day and
age.
But
yeah, line something up and then quit. Yeah. Or,
yeah.
I mean, the best situation is getting made redundant or getting fired and getting a nice big payoff that can then allow you to sort of sit on your ass for a couple of months taking stock. But I don't know if that's an option for you, but you could try and force a situation whereby he has to pay you off.
Well, I mean, 2005, I got sacked from the DVD shop that I was working in.
Oh,
no. And then I said to me then partner, mother of my children, give me 6 months to make a go of the writing.
Yeah.
Freelance, you know, just give me that 6 months. And she rolled her eyes quite a bit. And she did give me that 6 months.
Well, that's nice.
With, you know, it wasn't, she wasn't happy about it.
No.
But she kind of just indulged me. She kind of probably thought, yeah, whatever, it's not going to work out for him. He's an arsehole. Mm. But what I did was I augmented it in that first 6 months, augmented the small income from writing with selling loads of my CDs and records and stuff like that, which kept me going. And here we are. Never look back. So
never look back.
Start a podcast, Charlie.
I had a mate and I got him in. He's a very talented mate, actually, but he was always struggling to, like, monetize his creativity. And I was working at a large company and they asked me for recommendations for freelancers. And I said, you've got to use this guy. And he came in. He's quite a funny, charismatic bloke. And
is this about me?
No. No. And he said, yeah.
No.
He straight away impressed them. And we went out for lunch because he was suddenly working. He was my mate. And the reason I'd recommend him, apart from the fact that I thought he was very good at what he did, I was like, oh, it'd be quite nice to have a mate in the same building. He wasn't working for me or in my department. So we go out one lunchtime and he goes, God, this was a bit of a godsend because we've had to be living with my mother-in-law, and I, because we're skin, he said, and she keeps giving me loads of shit about, like, my work situation, because I tell her, you know, I want to work in the creative industries, I'm a writer, I'm a director, whatever, whatever, and she's very cynical about that. And to the extent that he goes, I come home, he goes, I've been depressed. This is something that I think lots of people can relate to. He's depressed because he's trying to do what he wants to do and it's not quite working out. And he come home and he's having to live with his mother-in-law, but she's belittling him and making him feel like shit. And every day he comes home and she's put like job application forms for like shelf stacker at Tesco, right? Yeah. And it's like, I brought this home for you, fill it in. And he's like, I don't want to. And she's like, well, you have to, right? And he's like, oh, I'm being bullied by my mother-in-law here, right? And it wasn't nice. He was telling me about it, and he wasn't in a good place mentally. But the good part of the story is that he really impressed these people at this company. And before his sort of month-long fucking freelance contract was up, the top job in the department he was working for suddenly became vacant, and they invited him to apply for it, right? So it's a huge gentleman. They weren't offering him like an entry-level job, the one he'd been covering freelance. They offered him, they didn't offer him a job, but they said, you know, we've been really impressed with your work. Why don't you chuck in an application for the top job, right? So he did, and he's fucking got it. It was a long process. He got it. I couldn't believe it, right? I couldn't believe it. I thought he hasn't got the experience, whatever, but he impressed him so much. And on the day he got the job, and it had a very reasonable salary, so he'd gone from earning almost nothing to earning quite a lot. But the day he got the job, he fucking went back home, and he hadn't even told his mother-in-law or his wife that this job was even on the horizon. He hadn't mentioned it. He hadn't said that he was applying for it. He'd gone through three or four different interviews. He hadn't mentioned it at all because he just couldn't bear telling them about it in case it didn't happen. He said the day he went back, he said he literally kicked open the living room door, right? They were both in the living room. She had her usual array of like job application forms that she'd fucking lined up to try and bully him. Well, your freelance contract's nearly up, so I found this for you to do. And he kicked open the fucking living room door, literally with a fistful of cash that he'd withdrawn from the cash point. Of course, he hadn't started getting paid yet, so he'd basically taken out the last couple of hundred quid that was in his overdraft so he could walk into the house clutching it, announced that he'd just been given this job with a fancy title and a big salary, and took them all out for dinner. And he said, I have to admit, the joy and pride I felt in getting the job was somewhat overshadowed by the sort of just the fucking sweetness of sticking one up her ass, so to speak.
That's brilliant.
But there's
I know who you're talking about as well. I've worked it out.
Yeah, and there's a sad twist at the end because he actually got let go before the end of his 3 month probation period. So then he was about to screw around, and I bet his fucking, I bet his mother-in-law was like, well, 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 how the tables have turned and then turned once more. And you, my friend, are back at square one. And revenge is a dish best served freezing cold. Here's your application form. And it's not for Tesco anymore. It's for fucking Iceland.
So, yeah, be careful what you wish for, Charlie, I think is the message there. Very quickly, one here from Justin Jenkins, which I don't think we can help with. He says, moving to the States to live. What's the best way to transfer money over to a bank account there without the fees and charges?
What?
Fucking no idea. No We're idea, not financial mate. Advisors.
Yeah, you're thinking of the Martin Lewis podcast, which I'm sure is brilliant. If it exists, fucking it must hell. Do. Don't ask us.
All right. There we go, then. Okay. That's it.
Simply.
Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week with
some other shit.
A tune machine or something. Yeah, that's all it. All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.